Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and welcome to another edition of What the How. But this isn't just another edition. This is a special edition. We're actually serializing this one into three parts. And the reason we're doing that is because what we're about to talk about is so incredibly important that we want to focus on each part separately. So we're talking about earthquakes. We're talking about the agencies that deal with that, that help us as residents in earthquake country. And the first part of our serial, being prepared. Let's start off by having you introduce yourselves.
Andy Evertson, Earthquake Brace Bolt Mitigation Director.
And that's a state agency,
right? It's part of the California Earthquake Authority.
Thank you. Chris?
Chris Nance, Chief Communications Officer, California Earthquake Authority.
And what we're doing is we're doing kind of a serial here in which we want to talk about the three, for lack of a better word, stages of dealing with an earthquake. First of all, there is
preparedness.
And what's involved in preparedness?
We have earthquake insurance that's a part of that. We have earthquake mitigation, which is a part of it. There are a number of other facets. From an earthquake insurance perspective, it all starts with a call with your agent to talk about what you have at stake. Should that earthquake come knocking close by and damage where you live, you're going to want to have a resource to call upon, and insurance is a great place to start.
So as people think about preparing, one, they think about being insured, having some level of protection. What else do they have to think about? Having a house that's rock solid?
Yes, they definitely need to think about how safe their house is and where they reside, whether they reside in a high seismic zone and when their house was built and whether that house is braced and bolted to its foundation, because those are very important aspects of safety. If your house is not braced or bolted and or bolted, it can slide or topple off its foundation and, of course, cause injury for those who reside inside or cause a lot of damage to the home, which may make it unlivable for you or may make it very, very costly for you to repair.
In my home, my house is from the 70s. I'm sorry, I was thinking about the 70s as I was saying that. What a good time that was. The 70s, and the house is on a slab. And so, they tell me that a house that's on a slab foundation is really a lot more secure than something where you might have a basement and have an underground area. But we actually in my house have thought about the idea of bolting and bracing and checking to see if we were as good as we can be. And is that a good idea to sort of have somebody come out and give you an estimate?
Well, certainly it's always a good idea to have a professional come out and look at your home, although a home that's built on a slab foundation, that is completely on a slab foundation, has likely already been bolted to the foundation. It's the houses in which there's a crawl space or basement underneath that it's very, very important to have a professional come out and ensure that your house has been bolted and, if required, braced as
okay.
well.
All right, so that's an important tip. Now, I know there are a lot of things you have to prepare. For instance, I had that famous gas wrench that you use to turn off the gas in case you have an earthquake. And if anybody owns a home in this state, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But there are a lot of other things besides the ability to turn off your own gas supply. And what are some of those things that people need to do? I have my own list of things I'll share with you as well.
Well, there are special fasteners for pictures to make sure they remain affixed to the wall when the ground shakes. Likewise, for large furniture, you want to have those strapped to the wall. Anytime you have glass in a picture, of course, you don't want that hanging over your bed. If that's where you're sleeping and at the same time that's where the ground shakes, those are very simple things that are low cost that can be done.
At any hardware store, you can find these sort of supplies.
That's correct.
And so with regard to sort of looking at your home and assessing what your home either needs or does not need, is there a checklist available at your website?
There's checklists available at Earthquake Country Alliance, as well as the Red Cross, I believe. Our website also has some additional information. There's some other things that are really important for you to think about as well. And is that if your house is safe to reside in after an earthquake, you're likely going to need to be sheltering in place for some period of time before things are back up to normal, which means you really need to have water. At least they're saying now at least a 2-week supply of water. at a minimum 72 hours worth of water, as well as food. You also need to make sure you have sufficient amount of your medications on hand so that you can shelter in place during that time, and also the ability to reach out to friends and family to allow them to know that you're safe.
It's good to have a plan to be able to let people know that you're okay. And it's interesting because in some cases we think about phone systems, infrastructure, what comes down, what doesn't survive. And so I keep a landline. And I have cell phones right in the house. So why do I keep a landline? Because if the cell service goes down, I've got a landline. I have an option. I don't know if this is good thinking or not. Maybe you can tell me. But I've always felt that that's a good thing to do. It's also a great way to have a phone that's strictly dedicated for salespeople that call to annoy you.
The landline's a good idea. Cell phone batteries may last just a few hours after a big event. Also, Hal, remember cash. You need to have cash when all the electronics are down, including cash registers. Having a few paper bills in your pocket to get the milk you need otherwise can be very helpful.
It can be critically important. And also something that I learned after Northridge, got to keep gas in your car.
Yeah.
Because when I got up the next morning at 4:17 or whatever time it was, all the gas stations were down. They couldn't give gas. The power was out. And when the power's out, the gas pumps don't work. And so if you didn't have gas in your car the night before, you weren't getting anywhere in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very important lesson for me because I got to go to work if there's an earthquake. I got to make sure my family's okay, but then I got to go to work and I got to make sure I can get to work. And it was really an eye-opener to see how many gas stations were just not able to function at all.
Hal, you talked about making sure your family's okay. Another very important box to check is having that family safety plan in place. So where you're going to meet, if you're at the office and your wife's working in a different location and your kid's at school, you're in three different places, the first thing you're going to want to do is get back together again. Do you have a place identified where you know you can meet?
And also, do you have somebody out of state, like a relative out of state that you can contact as sort of a third person who might be able to be the point person for the family? Also, Facebook does a really good job, I think, of having a place for people to mark, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's true to form in any kind of a crisis, I think that's a great place to go quickly, is to say, I'm okay. Because anybody can go to Facebook and see who's all right and who's not all right. And I think that's probably good as well.
The Red Cross has a great app for that as well.
What do they have?
It's an app that helps you notify your loved ones that you're okay.
Now, one of the reasons we're even having these conversations is simply because of a new landing page that has been put together by these agencies. Chris, I know you were very instrumental in making this happen. What is the function of this landing page? Tell everybody where they can find it. Of course, we will have it available on foxla.com, but why don't you explain to people what it is, why it's important, why we didn't have this in 2010, 2005, 1999, why we're getting it in 2019?
During the last big earthquake in the LA area and in California, that was before the internet. So here we are, 20 plus years later. The internet is a part of our everyday living. The idea is to have a single source of truth for all the key resources that people will need before, during, and after that next big earthquake. Scientists say it's inevitable. So before the earthquake, for example, there's information there about what you should be asking your agent. How does earthquake insurance work? What about that darn deductible? That's all clearly explained. There are 9 different resources there, ranging from the CEA, the Red Cross, USGS, the Earthquake Country Alliance, the California Office of Emergency Services, the Governor's Office of Emergency Services, the California Geological Survey. All of those resources are there. It's one single source of truth for the official, credible, battle-tested information that comes from government resources, academic resources, and otherwise, all in one spot.
And they all fit into 3 categories. There's prepare, there's survive,
and recover.
And recover. And so what we're doing now is a serialization of this information. You've now heard about preparing. Is there anything else about preparing that we want to tell people?
Yeah, I'd like to add to talk for a moment about that conversation that's so important with your agent. Most people think an earthquake won't happen to them. The social scientists have said that over and over again. Yet at the same time, the scientists are telling us, the earth scientists are saying, that next big earthquake is inevitable. The conversation with your insurance agent about earthquake insurance is vital. It's not the disaster, it's not the earthquake that's inevitable, but the disaster is likely if you're not properly prepared. And that financial consequence can be severe.
It can be severe, but I have a question for you, and this isn't an easy one. Back when we had Northridge, I had damage at my home. The perimeter wall came up. We had chimney damage. Everybody had damage in the neighborhood. We weren't that terribly far from the epicenter. And yet, under the earthquake insurance we had at that time, and if you'll remember, the reason why California Earthquake Authority came to be was because State Farm and all these other guys wanted out of the business. They got hit so hard, they wanted out of the business. So the state had to come up with some kind of a mechanism to be able to provide insurance for people. What I found and what a lot of my friends found was if you didn't have 10%, over 10% in your damage, you weren't getting anything. So if you had a $300,000 house, you had to have $30,000 in damage. Kind of felt like, why have insurance? The answer I came up with, and this is what I need you to respond to. The answer I came up with is if you totally lose your house, if you are totally wiped out, then there is something that will help you rebuild a house. But if you've got a perimeter wall that came down or a fireplace that needs to be fixed, this isn't what's going to help you out a whole lot, right?
That's correct. Well, what's different today compared to when Northridge struck? Today you have a number of different options that are available. The CEA doesn't choose the coverage for its policyholders. Each policyholder decides what's right for them.
So, but do you have like a 10% deductible, a 20% deductible?
You can range from 5 to 25%.
So you have 5% deductible?
That's correct. So here's how that works. Yeah. Now, if you buy a lower deductible, you're buying more coverage. So that premium's going to be higher. If you buy a higher deductible, you're buying less coverage. The premium's going to be less expensive. If you have a 5% deductible, the cost to rebuild is $400,000. Remember, it's not your appraised value. It's the insured value. If your house, as you mentioned, is totally rocked off its foundation, we will write a check less the 5% deductible. So do the math. 5 times 4 is $20,000. You subtract that from $400,000. We write you a check for $380,000.
And I'm glad you did that because I'm terrible at math. So I'm really glad you did that. But I would push back on this. You write me that check, and I go get my house fixed, and that's good because I've completely lost my home. But if I have that issue with the perimeter wall, and I've got a home that's $300,000, $500,000, I really have to have some big damage for this to mean something. So it is fair to sort of say, this is for catastrophic loss, right?
You can split how your deductible works. What that means is you can choose to have your personal property coverage separate from your structural coverage. What that means is if you have minimal damage internally, like personal belongings, but the structural damage is not significant. If you have the separate deductible, we call it homeowner's choice, that starts at a deductible for personal belongings. So we would recommend people talk with their agents about the difference between the two. You can
try to
bundle
it
all together.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's insurance speak, and agents are best at explaining that. But whether it's minimal damage or catastrophic damage, agents can talk you through the coverage that's right for you.
And here's what I would tell you for me, and you tell me if this is right for other people. What's right for me is when I buy insurance, I don't care if it's car insurance or anything, I spend more money and have less of a deductible. Why do I do that? I do that because whenever a crisis happens, somebody hits my car, something goes south or sideways, it's going to be at a time when I'm not flush. I don't have a lot of extra money. So all of a sudden, I've got a problem. Now I got to pay a deductible, and I don't have extra money. What am I going to do? So it's easier for me to parcel it out a little bit more each payment and know that I'm going to have a lot less to worry about. Now, is that a good thinking?
Heck yes, it is. And here's why. We hear agents say frequently when they're talking with their policyholders, who does a contractor want to help with damage? A person who's got insurance coverage or a person who's not yet sure whether they can afford to get the rebuilding done? So you are at the front of the line at a time when maybe half the houses are knocked down to get your house rebuilt, and you have the financial wherewithal to see that through. Now, Hal, I wanted to mention, if you have 105% damage in that scenario I mentioned earlier, we write the check for $400,000. And so the money's there. We don't worry about whether we have enough funding to cover claims. We worry about the people we can't help. And that's why these kinds of conversations are helping your listeners to get better educated on what to do.
And I know you and Glenn Pomeroy up there are working really hard to try to get this information out to people, which is why this landing page is so incredibly important. The next episode on this is going to be about surviving the earthquake. And so that's the next thing we're going to talk about. But I do want you to give me just sort of the bottom line on preparing.
Sure. I think it's really important. People often think that the terminology seismic retrofitting sounds really complicated and they're concerned and they don't know how to start. We have a great website called earthquakebracebolt.com. It has videos that show people how to do it. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, you can do it usually for about $1,500 or less. We also have a great grants program, which we provide up to $3,000 to help people retrofit their homes, and they can register for that on earthquakebracebolt.com.
And that earthquakebracebolt.com, that's going to be one of the items that's on the landing page mm-hmm. that we've been addressing, right?
Correct.
Right.
And so it's really important to do because it does allow you to reside in your home, hopefully after an earthquake, because it hasn't slid or toppled off its foundation. It's not going to have as large of a repair cost if there is any damage to your house. And on top of that, if you have a CEA earthquake insurance policy, it gives you a discount of up to 25% on your premium.
And we'll have two more episodes for you, one that has to do with surviving an earthquake, and the last that has to deal with recovering from an earthquake. I'm Hal Eisner. Thanks for joining us for another edition of What the Hal. We'll see you on the next one.